it's the climax, really, of Jesus' whole Sermon on the Mount from chapters 5 through 7. And here he is. He's now pretty much finished with the sermon, and now he's taking it home to you. And it says in verse 13 of Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Let's ask for the Lord's blessing. Lord Jesus, you said these words, and now you're saying these words in ways that can really penetrate into our hearts, because now your Holy Spirit is within us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit, you will take this truth and plant it deep within us, Lord. And we want our hearts to be fertile, Lord, free of the worries of this world, or free of any hardness of heart. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would just come and be so welcome within our hearts right now, for this word to come and change us and set us free. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He says, enter. That's it. He's finishing his sermon, and his first word is now enter. Enter in. Enter into what? It's enter into the kingdom of God. This whole sermon has been about what life in my kingdom is about. And he's saying, now enter into it. Enter into it. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 20, he talks about, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." He wants you to enter, but he also wants you to know that there's a standard of righteousness. There's a good life that has to go beyond any human effort, any self-effort, any self-reliance. It's not going to cut it. It's got to go above and beyond that. And that's what he means when he says it's got to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's got to go way above all of that. And so how are you going to get that? How are you going to get that? If that's what it's going to take to enter the kingdom of God, how are you going to get the righteousness that exceeds what the most pious people that you know live like? That's what Jesus is saying. What is the good life that he's talking about? And how can I have it so that I can enter the kingdom of heaven? And I just want to pause for a moment and recognize that in this entering, we have to know that there are two gates, there are two roads, there are two destinies, and there's two crowds. And Jesus has mentioned those things. Two gates, two roads, two destinies, and two crowds. Two gates, they're both marked heaven. They're both marked heaven, and everybody thinks they're going to heaven. Let's just put that out on the table. Everyone is going down one of two roads. There's not a third road. There's one, and there's another. One is wide. The other is narrow. And the gate to the narrow one is small. And the gate to the wide one is broad. It's big. It's wide. We have to know that in order to know with understanding that we are entering through the right gate, that we're entering on the right road. And so that's what's required of us. And Jesus wants us to be, first of all, very clear, because we live in a culture. I'm going to walk around because I just got to talk now. We live in a culture where tolerance is really, really glorified, where the attitude in our culture is this: it is so wrong for anyone to believe that any one religion can be the uniting force for people, or that any one religion possesses the truth that has a claim over everybody. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude should be that we should tolerate all religions and all of their understandings of truth, So that all roads lead to heaven. Just pick one. And God, whoever he is or she is, will look at your honesty and your sincerity and your intention and honor that. And that is what is popular in our culture, isn't it? I mean, think of the conversations you've had with your friends and your coworkers. It's been, I bet a lot of those conversations have to do with this. How can Jesus claim to be the only way? How can he be the one unique way? That just seems so narrow. That's the word he used. He would say, yeah, it is narrow. It is narrow. There isn't just truth that is like a buffet line. Just pick whatever truth works for you and it'll work out all in the end. That's not what truth is. Truth is distinct. Truth stands alone. Truth is unique. And truth is what needs to be what guides us to make the kinds of decisions that Jesus is talking about. Because the destinies have to do with some pretty significant things. The stakes are pretty high. We're talking about our eternal destinies. And there must be one truth, one way, one gate, one road, and one kind of crowd that gets into the kind of destiny that you want to be, you want to have. And that is eternal life with him. But that's the understanding. And many who go along that thinking of tolerance that all religions are the same, you know what they're actually doing? They're actually coming up with their own truth. They wouldn't say it. Even while they're saying all truths are the same, that whole worldview is a truth. Because they're saying something is true about God. That God will tolerate all of the religions as long as you're sincere. You know, that's a truth statement. That's a truth statement that's saying this is what God is like. Well, they won't say that's a truth statement. They're going to say all truths are the same. But really what they're doing is they're doing exactly what they're accusing you of doing. By saying, God is like this. They're coming up with a truth statement. And so really, everybody is preaching a truth out there. Everyone's preaching something. That's important for us to understand. Even those who say, no, we don't preach. We espouse tolerance. That's preaching something. That's preaching something about God. Do you understand that? So even they are coming up with a worldview, and that's the culture that we live in. It's important that we understand that they are espousing a truth, even under the name of tolerance. Okay? You know, the other attitude also for many on this wide road, many on the wide road are also thinking of their own efforts. Here's the big thing. The big difference between the narrow road and the large road is the people on the large road are relying on their own works and they're relying on their own effort. And the people on the narrow road are saying, I can't do a thing. There's no effort of my own that can make it, but I'm relying completely on the effort of God himself on my behalf. See, the narrow road is about grace. The broad road is about my own works, self-righteousness. No matter where you are, if you think about money, I mean, there's a lot of things that hinder people from growing, hinder people from starting and finishing through in their walk with the Lord. You know, we can think of that too. Can you think of people who they started in a flourish and they were obeying the Lord's word and they were witnessing and talking about their faith and doing all of this, but they didn't finish. They didn't finish. And even for ourselves, sometimes we find ourselves, you know, yeah, we're moving along in the Lord and we're growing in ways, but then we hit this bump. We hit this obstacle, or sometimes it's just a brick wall, and boom, and you just crash and you fall apart and you stay falling apart. You don't move and walk in the Lord moving forward. Why? Why is that? And I think much of it has to do with this, that we don't understand grace. We live in a culture that says, you know, you and your rugged individualism is what will get you success. It will make you somebody in the world. Just move forward. Do what you can. You're resourceful. Take what you got and move ahead. And that's the mentality that we live in. And that is what creeps into our own understanding. You know, we can receive the grace of God in our salvation. God did what I could never do for myself by dying on the cross for me. And we receive that, we move forward into it, and we want to obey the Lord, and yet what happens is we find ourselves pushed up against this thing that maybe money comes into play, and we say, you know, I really value money. So maybe God will look at some of my past efforts and some of the ways that I followed Him and my partial obedience so I can still enjoy money. Remember what the rich young ruler did? Rich young ruler came up to Jesus. Teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, have you obeyed the commands? Yes, since I was a boy, I've obeyed the commands. Okay, well, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me. Jesus is brilliant because he knows exactly what would hold us from giving all of us to him. And he pointed it out right in that young man. He knew the one thing he loved was money. And the rich young ruler, it says in Mark, he turned around, head down, and walked home. And it says Jesus loved him. So sometimes we can look at our partial efforts and our partial obedience, like the rich young ruler did. He could say, I obeyed the commands, and yet not give our heart to Jesus because our heart is on something else, maybe materialism or having a lot of toys. We just like to have stuff. And that's what holds us back. And so what we'll do is when we start to like something and love money, we'll then get into this works thing that says, well, maybe the Lord will look at our works that we've done before. I've gone to church. I've prayed. I read my Bible, kind of. You know, and so we start making excuses and then fall into that works mentality. Why? Because our hearts love something else. And we can come up to that brick wall and just, boom, we're done. Why? Because Jesus will not allow us to move forward unless we move forward by grace. By grace. Where we recognize that his grace is even greater and produces more joy in me than money or family or success or prestige or how many degrees I have after my name. That his grace is going to be even more satisfying and more than enough for me than any of those things. When I can really understand that and receive his grace in ways that transform my whole understanding of myself, that it is not by works that I am somebody. It is all of grace that I am somebody. Like Joan was saying, our names are written in heaven. I didn't write my name there. I couldn't have. It was written for me by the only one who could, God himself. How? Because I prayed a lot? Because I obeyed some commands in my life? Absolutely not. But because I received the grace of Jesus Christ on my behalf. And when I receive that grace is when I'm able to move forward. And grace transforms me into the words of Jesus, and I start to obey the words of Jesus in my life that transform me so that I love like Jesus. And I give that grace to other people the way I receive that grace. You see? That's the key. That's the key. And so you got people on the wide road, broad way. They're walking because they think it's about their own efforts. And then you got people on the little narrow road. The little narrow road. The little narrow road. Why is it so narrow? Because you can't walk through it with all your stuff. The real translation of this, it's like a turnstile. You ever walk through a turnstile? Turnstiles, you can't really bring, you know, all your suitcases through there, can you? A turnstile, all you can bring is what? Yourself. There's just room for one. And that's what the narrow road is about. Jesus is looking at each one of you personally and says, come unto me, you, come to me. And when you come to me, I will personally cover you in my righteousness. And I will personally give you grace so that you can walk with me. Personally, walk through the turnstile with me. See, you can't bring any of your efforts. Can't bring it. Won't fit through the turnstile. Can't bring any of your success, prestige, sin. Can't bring any of it. Pride, self-righteousness, nothing. Won't fit. Won't fit. The only thing that's called, that he's calling you to do is one thing. It's the beginning of the sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? You just come as you are. Just the way you are. You come in all your brokenness. You come in all your frailty. You come in your sin. And you come just the way you are to Jesus. And that's just the way he wants you. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we can get grace, we can walk the road. It is that internal refusal in our own hearts that says, no, Lord, I know that you did so much for me on the cross, but let me add a little bit to it just to show my gratitude. We do that because we're proud. We can't accept that something so magnificent and so great has been done on our behalf. We want a little part of the credit so we don't have to be so thankful to somebody. That's just us. That's just the way we are. And Jesus is saying the narrow road is about this. You do all that you can in your life so that all that you do is rely on me for everything. Completely rely on me. Completely depend on me for your identity, the way you see yourself, not through your degrees, but through me and my love for you. Not through anything else, but just through me. When you think about what you treasure in your life, let me be your treasure. I will be your treasure. When he's enough, you leave everything behind. You walk through the turnstile, and he's enough, and he's everything. That's the narrow road. But that's hard. That's hard. Internally, it's hard. It's hard to accept that. That's why it's hard. That's why it's narrow. The other reason that it's hard is because the world that we live in doesn't really like grace. It's not friendly to grace. The world that we live in likes to promote self. That's what the world does. It's very good at that. And so for us to walk into the world with a totally different kind of way of life where we don't have to try to live up to their acceptance, we don't have to try to live up to the standards where they find their approval. We're already approved. Our names are written in heaven. And we walk forward in a freedom that allows ourselves to be who we are in God. So we're going to live in a world that's not going to treat gracious people very kindly. And that's what's going to make the road hard. Because you're going to go into your workplace and they're going to say, come on, do this with us. Or why don't you leave your husband or leave your wife, be happy. And you say, because my identity is not wrapped up in what you value as your happiness. My happiness is in the Lord, and my obedience to him is what makes me happy, and my obedience to him says, love your husband, love your wife. See? I'm not motivated by the things that the world will try to put on me because I've already become somebody in Jesus. And that becomes what motivates me and compels me to walk the road. So it's a turnstile. And Jesus says it's hard. But that's the road that you have to be on. So the narrow road is for people who really believe that the grace of Jesus is all that it is meant to be. All that Jesus said it is and can transform in your life. When you really believe it and you really accept it and receive it in your life every day for how you're going to live every day, then that's what's going to allow you to walk the narrow road. You're on the road. But that's the key. That's the key. Is this the life that you decide to live every day? Is the life that you live a life that you choose to say, I live not by works, but by grace today? I live as not someone who's trying to achieve a name. I'm already somebody in God's eyes. I'm going to receive and live out who I am in God as one who's dearly beloved and dearly graced. Is that the life you decide to live every day? There's two destinations as well. If you ever read biographies, talking about the library, you ever read biographies, and you read the biographies of the rich and famous, a lot of times by the time you get to the end of those biographies, something kind of sad happens to me because they start talking about the things they regret. And the things that they regret in their life usually go to this. I regret leaving behind the people I should have loved because I was so intoxicated by the feeling of power I get by money. The people that get left behind, the people I should have loved, the people that got tossed in the dust, my children, my wife, my husband, those are the people I should have loved. It's sad because that's a lot of times that's where those biographies go. But that's a destination. That's a destination. When you ask yourself, when I'm seeking prestige or a lot of money, where is that going to take me in the end? If I keep going down this road, as I'm going on right now, what's the destination? Where is it going to take me? Is it going to truly satisfy me? Is it really going to be what fills me? So at the end of the road, when I look back on this life, I can say, oh, His grace was enough, or, man, I feel empty. See, that's a good question. What kind of legacy are we going to leave? What are we going to feel like when we get to the end of the road about our lives? Are we going to be filled or empty? Two destinations. When you read the biographies of great men and women of faith, that does something different to you. They finish well. You read the stories of missionaries, they're all in there. There's dozens of biographies of missionaries in there. And you read those missionary biographies and you read things like Jim Elliot, who went with the four other guys down into the Amazon and they gave their lives up because the Indians of the Alca tribe killed them, basically. But he writes things like, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's finishing well. That's finishing well. When you read those biographies and you see their destinations, look for what it is that drives them. What is it that got them? What was the key in their life? You read those biographies and you look for those things. Discover what was the hard road. How did they receive grace to endure and go out in a blaze of glory like Jim Elliot? That's the way you want to finish. You know, our world is losing hope. I was made very stark that reality this week, just looking at all the different people that were involved in Rosita's funeral service and seeing how there were those who had hope and there were those who did not have hope. The difference was stark. But then I started looking at our headlines in the news. I thought about conversations I had with friends. I looked at the editorials that are in the newspaper, and there's just hope is disappearing in our world. It's really disappearing. And then for us who have hope, to be able to stand in the midst of death and look it in the eye and say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Christ has won the victory. And we stand in that hope. And we look into the future knowing what our future is going to be is sure and bright and glorious. That's our hope. How do we get that hope? Because of the grace of God. How do we receive such a gift? Because of the grace of God. When we allow the grace of God to truly transform us in a way that compel us to obey Him so that we can just be with Him, we'll find what John Newton said in that hymn, and grace will lead us home. Grace will lead us home into eternity, into the arms of the Savior at the end of the road. So it's a hard road. It's hard to enter the kingdom. It's hard on a lot of levels. Internally, we have a lot of pride issues. And some of you are sitting here and you've hit the brick road and you can't move forward because
You think it's about good works. You think it's about your own efforts. You think you got to have it all together and brick wall. But, you know, I'll just close with this analogy. I thought of it this week. You know, the Bay Bridge is closed. Well, you wouldn't be here if you, I guess, knew the Bay Bridge was closed. So you're here, and you made your way around. Maybe you took the ferry. Did you take the ferry? Yeah, getting over here. Bay Bridge is closed because, and if you looked at the paper, they're taking a whole section of the bridge out and replacing it with one that's sitting right next to it. And they're just going to get a crane and lift it and put it in its place, and it's going to take the weekend to do that. It's pretty awesome when you think about that. And I thought about this. What if everybody in the world was in Oakland trying to get into San Francisco? And no one was in San Francisco. Even the people in San Francisco were in Oakland. They were all trying to get into San Francisco. Because, you know, San Francisco, it's the place to be, right? And everyone's over there, and they're trying to find a way, and there's this big bridge, the Bay Bridge, it's all there. And let's say that there weren't any signs that said it's closed. Let's say Satan was in charge of Caltrans. Right? And he had no signs up and nothing there, and they removed that part of the bridge, and they didn't tell anybody. And everybody's going through the toll gate, going through the maze, masses of people, wide road, lots of gates, going through, big road. And they get across the Treasure Island, and all of a sudden, boom, they're in the bay. Everybody was on that road, on the maze, crowds of people walking through, going to the city. It's right there. There's the bridge. Let's go. And they all end up in the bay. Because the signs on the Bay Bridge still say San Francisco, 80 West. But there is another road. See, BART is open, right? BART is still running trains, right? But no one thinks, how am I going to get to the city? I'm going to take BART. Why? Because everyone's in their car on the maze. And when you're on the maze in your car, you're not thinking BART. You're just thinking, I'm in my car. I got to get over there in my car. And if Jesus was to say, look for the narrow road, what we have to do is actually take a U-turn. A U-turn out of the maze to get back onto 80 East so that we can look for the BART station. Because the BART station is underground, see? It's hard to find that gate. It's just a little, little place. You walk down these stairs, and then you get to the turnstile. And you can't drive your car through the turnstile. There's only room for you. And you walk through with your ticket, and then what? Your car's not there. You have to rely on the BART train to take you there. See, that's an analogy of what Jesus was talking about. If you're on the maze and you're in your car, you're thinking, where's that narrow road? Where's the narrow road? And you're not thinking, you know what? I can't get my car over there. Our car can represent our good works. You can't see yourself in San Francisco without your car. You can't see yourself getting to heaven without your efforts and your good works and all the things that you do. It's going to require you to take a U-turn and really totally re-examine the way you do life. Can I do life now without my good works? I'm going to turn around and look for the narrow road. And when I get into the narrow road, I'm going to leave my car behind. I'm going to leave everything behind. I'm just going to walk through the turnstile and get onto Jesus who takes me there by His grace. That's the only way to get into the city. That's the only way for you to have eternal life. Relying completely on the grace of Jesus. No car, no efforts, just you and the cross and His grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize today that there are two roads, two destinations. And maybe for some of us today, we have to truly examine where we're going and how we're getting there. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just do something in every heart today that gives people the freedom to give up everything that they're relying on. Their cars, their toys, their prestige, everything that we rely on, the acceptance of people. Lord, that you would just unleash those things from us. By your grace, just wash those things away so that all that we're left with is you and what you did on the cross and your grace that keeps us and sustains us and empowers us to live the life that we could never live on our own. The life that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Lord, do that transforming work in every heart today. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.